You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Good morning. Welcome. KC Forum is the name of the radio show. Every single Sunday right here, 6:30 to 7 on a Sunday morning, this radio station. Don't miss it. We got lots going on. Kathy Quinn here. We're going to be talking about a special event to raise awareness and to fundraise for a very new, brand new autism organization. And so Mario Stone Street will be joining us to talk about it. Kansas City Art Institute has a special project involving veterans. We'll find out all about it. First up, though, AAA. Here's Sean Stewart. How are you, Sean?
Doing great, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And I think this is kind of a cool thing. I know this is going on in Wichita and Topeka. And, you know, we've got to keep our fingers crossed that the folks here on the Missouri side do it, because it's a great message. Let's talk about pumping up distracted driving messaging. How are you doing this?
Well, back in April, we introduced a distracted driving public awareness campaign that we refer to as Don't Drive Intoxicated, Don't Drive Intexticated. And the point we're trying to make with this campaign is that distracted driving, you know, driving with your phone, is just as distracting and impairing and potentially dangerous and deadly as drinking and driving. So we really want to get that message out to drivers to put the phone down and just focus on the road.
All right. Then, you know what? You say that. I mean, are there any stats out about this yet, or is it too soon?
Well, there's a lot of stats in terms of the impact of distracted driving, and a lot of people think these numbers are low, but 9 people each day are killed in the U.S. and 1,000 are injured in crashes where distracted driving occurred. So we're talking about some big numbers.
Wow.
And a lot of people think those numbers are even underreported, because when you think about it, in a crash investigation, it's kind of hard to prove or determine mm-hmm. that driver was distracted. You know, they may not report it, or if it's, you know, after the fact, unfortunately, if there's a fatality, that's often very hard for law enforcement to prove and investigate. So it's a big problem, and it's growing every day.
You know, everybody in our listening audience, raise your hands if you have seen someone with their cell phone as they're taking a left-hand turn. That I can't believe. They're waiting for the traffic to clear, and they're on their phones, way up looking at their phones. Yeah, I know everybody's raising their hands.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
I so try, and I'm pretty good at it. I put the phone down. You're supposed to. I mean, we do so many stories on this. And you know, how many stories have we done here in Kansas City when we do stories on highway crashes and, hey, they were text messaging, hey, they were on the phone, that type of thing. It is scary.
Yeah, it's really scary. And, you know, I get it. You know, I think we've all done it. Everybody, you know, likes to be in connection with their office or their friends all the time with our devices. And, you know, unfortunately, it really does distract you, not only taking your eyes off the road, but potentially your hands off the wheel. And a big thing, even when you're just making a call during while you're driving, your brain is distracted. You're cognitively thinking about other things besides the road. So we recommend that you just don't use your mobile phone while you're driving. That's the best way and the safest way to do it. You know, put your phone down so you're not tempted to respond when you get messages in. You know, there are technologies, even on, you know, for example, on your iPhone, you can set up the do not disturb function. And so when your phone senses that you're connected by Bluetooth to your car, it will automatically send out a message saying that, hey, I'm driving, I'll respond when I get to where I'm going. So it keeps the notifications from coming through to your phone while you're driving. And that's something that you can just look up on your iPhone, do not disturb, and you have to manually set it up.
I know that that's funny that you say that. I know when you get that alert, you know, you have these alerts for everything. It's like you feel almost a responsibility. I got to answer it now. I got to look at it now.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't. You really don't.
You don't. Yeah, we've kind of gotten to that point as a society, unfortunately, where, you know, everybody expects you to constantly be available and constantly respond. And, you know, I think we stress ourselves out for one thing, and we put ourselves at risk when we're driving for another. So, you know, just think about that before you do it. You know, would your family miss you if you're not around? You know, mm-hmm. I hate to be, you know, that dramatic, but I talk to people every day who have been involved in crashes due to distracted driving. A lady I know in Larned, Kansas, her 22-year-old daughter was messaging on Snapchat and rear-ended a truck and unfortunately died from her injuries. She never saw it coming.
Oh, my gosh, that is awful. That's horrible. I can't, you know, and with young kids around. Talk about, mm-hmm. though, this is the busy summer travel season, so this is the perfect time for your message. You know, don't drive intoxicated.
Yeah, exactly. It's a busy summer travel period for vacations. A lot of people are hitting the roads. The highways are really busy with cars and lots of campers and also lots of construction. So you've got a lot of issues on the road that you have to pay attention to. And if you're staring at your phone or, you know, setting up your navigation or whatever, you're taking your focus off of the road and putting yourselves and other drivers in lots of danger. You know, you think about, there's a lot of two-lane highways in Kansas and Missouri. And, you know, if you're looking at your phone, if you drift just a few feet over across the center line, that can be tragic in a matter of seconds. Mm.
You know, there was a recent survey that you guys put out. It said almost 70%, because remember I was asking everybody raise their hands, almost 70% of Kansas drivers say they notice more drivers distracted by electronic devices than just 2 years ago. So you said it's becoming a real, real issue.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. People are saying that they're seeing more people driving. But on the other hand, the same time, those same people that we surveyed, 45% of them admitted to looking at their phones to read or send a text when they're behind the wheel. So it's almost like a do as I say, not as I do thing. People think they're invincible. They think they're bulletproof, that it's not going to happen to them. But, you know, like I said, I talk to these families and these victims who have been involved in crashes themselves or lost loved ones. So sure. It does happen to people every day. So, you know, just if we can just have people focus on it and think of it as the danger that it is, you know, that's what we're trying to get at.
You know, and what's scary too, summer vacation, we call, you know, the 3 months of summer the 100 deadliest days. And this mm-hmm. is when, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and we've done stories on this before, teen drivers, oh my goodness, this is the top contributor to their fatal crashes. I mean, they're on their phones,
yeah.
You know?
You know, you don't think about it, but if you're looking down at a phone, the average is 4 to 5 seconds if you're looking down at a message or something. So when you think about that, a lot can happen in the distance that's a football field or two football fields long if you're not looking at the road.
What I'm going to do right now, I want you to help me out with the tips to avoid distracted driving. And so
sure.
Put it away. How important is put it away?
Like we talked about, you know, it's distracting, especially when you're getting notifications, if you're getting messages that you're getting emails or Snapchat responses or likes or whatever the case might be. If you can turn those off, set up the technology on your phone so you're not distracted, and preferably put your phone away where you can't see it and it's not going to tempt you. Another thing is if you need to respond to a call or send a text while you're driving, pull over so you're safely out of traffic, pull over into a parking lot or somewhere safe to take care of that.
Why is it so important that they do not drive and use their phones or any electronic devices?
Well, what I like to think about is, you know, is that text or that Snapchat or that Instagram post or email or whatever it is that worth your life or the life of someone else? Have another touch point for drivers. You're kind of a captive audience while you're there pumping gas for a few minutes, so it's just another way that we want to try to get that message out to drivers and really make them think about it and hopefully put the phone down and focus on just driving.
Sean Stewart, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for helping get the message out, and we'll be checking in with you, you know, later on, see how things are going. All right, so you stay safe.
Thanks so much. Everybody drive safely now.
All right, we got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on, there's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
T1D looks like my brother.
T1D looks like a friend.
Type 1 diabetes can be living in anyone.
Type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas doesn't produce insulin. It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
Type 1 diabetes can be very serious.
Blindness, amputation.
Help JDRF find a cure today. Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
All right, if you're back with us now, it's KC Forum, and I would like to welcome Maria Stone Street to the show. How you doing, Maria?
Hey, I'm good, thanks, Kathy. Love being here.
Yeah, this early in the morning, 6:30 on a Sunday, huh?
Yeah, well, yawning.
You know what's kind of cool is you are working with Building Hope for Autism, and you were here in the metro for many, many years. You moved away, and now you are back. What is it like to go away and come back and see what home is like?
Well, that has been, like, incredible because Kansas City has changed so much, and I just love it. It's just amazing to see all the changes and be able to take advantage of all the neat things that are here now. I just love it.
Let's talk about Building Hope for Autism. This is your passion.
Totally.
Tell us all about it. First of all, what is autism? I don't understand, you know. There's so many different definitions of it. What is it?
That is such a hard question to answer because I think for everyone it's a little different. But basically it just boils down to a communication disorder. And I'm so lucky to be able to help families that I've seen go through in my career, 25 plus years now, mm-hmm. being an autism specialist, and being on the side of being able to help. I helped before, but not in a monetary way.
Autism 25 years ago was not, I'm not saying well accepted or understood. 25 years later, how is it different? How is it much more, not accepted, but much more people go, oh, okay, there's much more education out there.
Yeah, so much more education out there. I think people are more empathetic. Education, that's huge. That's the biggest thing is educating people. Because when you don't know things, you don't know. That's just it. So when you educate someone on what something is or what something looks like, then they're better equipped to handle or deal with something like that. And through education, when I first started in this business, in this mm-hmm. career mm-hmm. Path, which special ed autism wasn't my first degree, and I was lucky enough to be able to go back to school and do, because I found what I loved, and then I got to do it. So I was so fortunate that way, having supportive parents and that, you know, wanted me to be happy in what I did. Mm-hmm. It was 1 in 10,000 kids were diagnosed with autism. Now it's, I think, 1 in 88 or
wow.
I think it's less than 100. It's less than 100. So that in itself is huge. More diagnosis. And there's different reasons for that too. It's a spectrum disorder now, so many more people fall on the spectrum than they did before. But there's also something in our environment that is causing it, too. And we know it's genetic, and there's no cure until they find out exactly what's causing it. They can't find a cure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you do as a special ed person? Are there treatments? So, in other words, it's like you can't cure the common cold, but you treat it?
There's all kinds of different things. There's therapies, and autism has a sensory component, so we get a lot of kids that need occupational therapy, see kids that need behavioral therapies and speech therapies. And at Building Hope, we want to help families when they get that diagnosis, that we can help find them where they need to go, and we can help financially with those therapies. And I'm just so fortunate to have found the founders of Building Hope for Autism, Paul Barnes. He's a local home builder here in Kansas City, and he takes the portion of his profits from the homes he builds and puts them back into the foundation. He has a grandson with autism, and Dr. Sean Sabin is a physician here in Kansas City. That's his wife, and she has a niece with autism, and they wanted to do something more. They saw the struggles that their families went through during the diagnosis stage, that it wasn't easy, and if insurance didn't pay for things, and if you weren't connected, how did you find certain resources? And they just want to help other families going through that. And my area in the autism field has always been wanting to get individuals with autism employment. And so we're looking at both of those areas, both critical areas in milestone areas in the life of someone with autism. So that's the other area we want to really work towards, is helping 75% of the kids with autism when they graduate from high school don't have jobs. And they can have jobs. They can work. And we want to work with businesses here in Kansas City and do what we can to help train them to support people with autism, working and fulfilling jobs and feeling like they're contributing, because that's what they want to do. And oftentimes that's so hard because companies, businesses don't know that there's just little things that they could tweak to make that a reality. And so those are the things, and we're brand new, and we're in the fundraising, you know, portion right now to be able to do the things we want to do. Of course, we do have the initial funding of the homes that Paul builds, but we need more funding to continue and build the foundation that we want.
All right, so Building Hope for Autism, there is an event that's coming up August the 17th, 7 to 11, and kind of explain, it just sounds like a lot of fun. The opinions are going to play.
Yes.
It just sounds like a lot of fun. Explain what it is, please.
So so the Opinions, a great band, they are all physicians. Sean, like I said, our founder is a physician. She's been friends with some of the guys of the band for a while. And just mentioned that she was starting this foundation, and the next thing was like, oh, well, we'll do something for you. And so, boom, we have a fundraiser set up, and it's going to be at the Shack out on 135th and like 69 Highway right there when you get off. They use the event space at night, and so the Opinions are going to play. We're going to have a great silent auction. You can buy tickets. We have an Eventbrite set up. You can go to our Facebook page and find that link. And it's just going to be a really fun night to celebrate, just having a good time, dancing, listening to some great music, and all for a good cause, supporting the autism community in Kansas City.
And they love music, don't they, Maria? They love music. Dancing.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? I mean, right?
I know. I was going to say, I remember seeing you dance at, we did a live shot with you. What was the event? And you were dancing with all the ball players. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, Bobby Bell.
Yes, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Dancing with Bobby Bell, yeah. He's a smooth operator. He's got the moves.
Well, I'm telling you, you can all, you know, go out and watch Maria dancing out at this Building Hope for Autism event. It's the wonderful fundraiser that's coming up. Okay, so I interrupted you talking about your dancing. So tell me what you were going to say.
But everyone, yeah, everyone loves to dance and sing. But
I have a nephew who's on the spectrum, and he loves to dance.
Oh,
He loves music, and he loves to dance.
Yeah, well, just like everyone, you know, some people like it, some people don't. Sometimes the noise is too much, and it's a sensory overload type thing. But I think a lot of times it's a... how we use music too is an escape. We find our, you know, we can lose ourselves in listening to a great song, great lyrics, and we can find meaning for it. I think anybody can do that, which is, you know, that's one thing I love about music. I think it really is a good indicator on how much we are alike and what we all are, and inclusive instead of a division. And whenever I'm at a concert, I always look around and think, I know there's people here that don't think the same way I do, but look, we're all enjoying the same music and having mm-hmm. such a great time together.
The universal language, Maria, right?
It truly is. It truly is.
Basically, where do you want people to look for information on the fundraiser? Where's the best place?
Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. So we want you to go to Facebook if you want to find out more about this August the 17th. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to stay in tuned with us and let us know what goes on with your organization, because you see it's pretty young. When did it start?
We just started. We just got our nonprofit status 2 weeks ago. But we started our board meetings and everything in February. And I met the founders in November. So it went boom, boom, boom. It's like when you find the right fit, you know what's going to work, and we have just hit the ground running. So we're really excited to, we really want to build inclusion and connection to anyone who supports anybody here in Kansas City and the autism community. So other organizations, we want to reach out to them, let them know we're here to support them as well, because it's not a competition. We're all in this together.
Wonderful. I love that. Maria Stone Street, thank you so much. We'll check in with you, and good luck with the fundraiser.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right, we got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
I don't look any different than you, but I have type 1 diabetes.
You can't outgrow type 1 diabetes.
It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
It's kind of hard to live with it.
It's not easy. I do need to check my sugar a lot, my levels.
If you see someone with an insulin pump or pricking their finger and you want to know more about T1D, just ask them.
T1D looks like me.
T1D looks like me.
Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
It's my honor now to welcome to the show Major Kirsten Vollenmacki, and we're going to be talking to you for the next 10 or so minutes. I want people to tune in, but welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. So I met Kirsten at the Kansas City Art Institute, where they have this wonderful display, wonderful exhibit called the Veteran Reflection Exhibit, and you were one of the 14 subjects of the wonderful portraits that these wonderful students were able to paint. And yours, if you can't see it, you can go to Fox 4 News and look at our website. And you can see it there, Kirsten. How did you get invited to be one of the participants?
Sure. Well, there are a couple organizations that came together, actually, to make that vision become a reality. Humana, the Kansas City Art Institute, the Art Council of Kansas City, The Battle Within, After Action Network, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. And I actually am an alumni of of The Battle Within, and I have friends with After Action Network. So both of them actually reached out to me and said, would you be interested? And I said, tell me more about it. And after hearing about it, I told The Battle Within, I said, yes, I would be interested. And so they went ahead and submitted my name to be considered. And then Miss Leslie Newton, who's with Humana, the Bold Gold program, I believe, mm-hmm. Reached out to me and said, so The Battle Within gave me your name and told me, you know, that you're a veteran and that you've had experience, you know, with trauma and struggling with reintegration and isolation and feelings of loneliness throughout your career. Mm-hmm. And you would be interested possibly in speaking to our co-organization that we're working with, which is the Kansas City Art Institute, mm-hmm. And doing having a portrait done. And I said, yes, if, you know, I'd be interested. I'm a little nervous, not going to lie. But if there's anything that I can do to help spread the word about subjects that are often very misunderstood and overlooked, mm-hmm. I'm there. And she said, great. And so we made the connection from there and started lining up, you know, when the interview would happen, you know, who I would meet with, et cetera.
So you've got an artist. Her name is Holly. And Holly was the artist from the Kansas City Art Institute where she interviewed you. And from the interview, she painted a portrait. For instance, you can't see it here, but you can look at it, obviously, on Kansas City Art Institute as well. There are tears coming from your eye. And it looks, to me, it looks just like you. Tears coming from your eyes, and you have, your right ear is extended. It's a bigger ear. Why was that important, and what did that signify? What did that symbolize for you?
During my interview, I explained that a lot of the time, the difficulty for a soldier is that we do not feel like we're heard. People listen, uh-huh. and they take what they hear. They transfer it through their own experiences, their own life molds, and then a lot of times they will try to give us advice without really knowing us and knowing what we're going through. And what I spoke about was how important it is for the community and for those that we call friends and loved ones to be able to understand unconditional positive regard. And that is the ability to sit back and listen and just be present so that the individual can unpack what they're going through without trying to fix us, just trying to love us, just trying to hear what we're saying. And then, by all means, at the end, if they want to ask questions, that's great. But the whole point is, at that point, we don't need to be fixed. We need to be heard. We need to be loved for what we're going through and for where we're at.
And the thing is, go ahead, Kirsten, I'm sorry.
Sure, I'm sorry. I was going to say that the point about the tears was, during my interview, I explained, we're expected as soldiers to have this this strength, this aura about us that says, I can handle anything. You know what? When we're in uniform, we're trained to handle anything. We don't always get it perfect, but by goodness, we do our best. That's what focusing is about. But when we come home or when we go through a traumatic incident, like the loss of a soldier, we are not trained to display and to release that trauma. We don't know how to do it. We're trained exactly the opposite. I'm good. My one foot in front of the other, and I've got this. So transitioning back, we don't know what to do. And I explained to her, you know, nobody teaches us that it's okay to cry. But if you ever meet a soldier who is talking about or who is recounting a situation that was extremely traumatic, a roadside bomb, a loss of a soldier in the heat of battle, or even someone they knew that they lost that was back home while they were gone, if they're not displaying emotion, if they're not able to be vulnerable and shed a tear, they have not made it to the place where they're healing. And that's when you can tell that has begun. And that's so important right then to be able to just hold out your hand and say, you know, I'm here, how can I help you? And that was the point of the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to, if we are vulnerable, for you to be vulnerable, and instead of fixing us, say, how can I help? What do you need?
And we don't know. We haven't been through what you've been through, and we're just trying to, you know, console you, and that. So it's good to know. It's good to know that. And speaking of healing, you told me, we had an interview on Fox 4 the other morning, and you told me that you hadn't cried until this exhibit. And
yeah.
Wow. So that's your healing beginning.
I have cried about numerous things. So let's qualify that. I've cried about numerous life things. But as far as the things that that I have been struggling with in the service, because I've been in for 21 years, I've experienced a myriad of good and bad, but of the things that have actually traumatized me, I learned to stuff them, and I've talked about them, and I've broken down, but not to the extent of just bawling, just crying. Like I would start to cry, and then I would just close it off. That's what I mean. Well, until that interview where I was confronting an issue, and I actually felt safe. I knew I was being heard. I hadn't cried about, and I don't want to get into that because I'll cry right now. I don't want to get into this specific incident.
Right, right.
But a very specific incident by happenstance came up, and I started to to talk about it like I normally would, and I couldn't make it through it. And that's when I told Holly, I said, you know what? This is what I'm talking about. We don't start to heal until we're able to cry.
Wow. Very powerful interview. If you'd like to actually see the exhibit, it's coming back to the Kansas City Art Institute, actually here in the Kansas City area. And you can check on my Facebook page to find out where it will be. And they're really, really fascinating. All right. So that's it for us this weekend. Thank you for tuning in. Kathy Quinn here. Thank you to Fox 4, our executive producer, Katie Connors, and Drina Byrne, our associate producer, The Voice, Doug Medlock, Ed Walker getting us on the air, and of course, the elders. Until next weekend, see ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.